Welcome back, guys, to another episode of the Cinemax podcast, the first one in quite some time. So I'm saying welcome back to you, but I should say welcome back to us as well. Been a long, what, 7 months, has it been? Seven?
Just a quick 7 months. To be fair, I say a quick 7 months because it feels like it's not been 7 months.
Yeah, we were saying that the other day, weren't we? It feels like it's gone really quick. But yeah, we paused the show in March because life was getting a bit in the way. I was just about to finish uni. I was about to go on like almost a month-long holiday. Everything was just a bit too hectic. But since then, everything's kind of mellowed out a bit. And we're kicking back on with it now. We're here to stay. My name is Carl Altimus. I'm one of your co-hosts. Since we last recorded, I have graduated uni. Fucking big up, mate. I've done it. I got engaged as well, which is nice. But to be fair, Nathan's probably trumped me with those, and he's done something which is considerably life-changing and a remarkable achievement. So Nathan, can you tell us how you found completing the Godzilla franchise?
It was 38 films. 38
yeah,
films.
That's an incredible achievement. That's probably the best thing you've done this year, surely, right?
It definitely lasted longer than the other thing.
How are you, first of all? And I know I've said this before, but yeah, you are now. And is it an expectant parent? Is that what they say?
Yeah.
You are going to be a dad.
I am finally the daddy that everybody's been calling me for years.
Yeah, that's defo the word I use anyway. How are you? How are you doing? Are you happy to be back?
Yeah. Yes, definitely. It's been a long 7 months. Like I said, I mean, it feels like it's gone really, really quick. But there's so much that's gone off. But yeah, I am delighted to be back. I've been, you know, well, it's me that's been waiting on you
Yeah,
to
that's true.
get back here, you fucking little traitor. So,
Waiting on me to sort my shit out.
You are, sorry?
You were waiting on me to sort my shit out.
I was.
Because I think the original plan was get uni out of the way and then just as soon as I finished, we start again. But I was still like burnt out with all that work. I was like, I just need months to do nothing.
Yeah, and then I had, you know, a baby, and then
well, you haven't yet.
Well, not yet, but this a lot of work that goes into this part, mate.
Yeah, I was gonna say, not so much the first bit, you probably just barely fuck all, really.
I say that loads of work, it's been so hard. Watch 38 Godzilla films,
yeah, what an achievement that is. So well done for that.
Thank you.
I was just about to say something. Oh, yeah, your baby's due the day after my birthday as well, which it feels like that's written in the stars, really. Two of the most important people in your life, just days apart. Or we could even share the same birthday if you're lucky enough.
I want it to be a day early.
Yeah.
I want her to be a day early,
Oh,
little
yeah,
girl.
You are having a girl. Yeah, we should make that known. But yeah, so this week we decided we were just going to ease back in. We're not going to jump straight into what we usually do, which is more often than not specifically focus on two movies and pit them against each other to see which one we ultimately find the best. This week, it's more like a catch up between us, really. And it's just sharing the five films that we've watched since we last recorded that we essentially think of the best. I really phrased that in the most complicated way. The five best films we've watched since we last recorded. That's easier.
And I've gone with films I'd never seen before. I don't know what you've done.
Yes, I have. I have. Everyone on my list is something I'd never seen before. Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to make sure I did that as well. I imagine yours is just five Godzilla movies, but we'll see. don't give it too much away, but are there multiple on your list?
This is where you say, oh, Nathan, tell us you're five, and I go, well, I've got 38. 37, one of them is real. One of them is dog shit. But no, I'm keeping it.
Oh, that's fair enough, then. That's fair enough.
We last recorded March 10th. Mario Day, and so it's been a fair while. And
yeah,
a lot
do you know what? Do you want to know something really tragic? So when we decided this is what we're going to do, I went back and on Letterboxd and I counted how many films I've seen since March 10th, and it's actually about 200. And the worst thing about that is March and April, I think I watched about 11 combined because I was like on holiday and then swamped with uni. So I've really just been sweating it out in front of TV for the last like 4 months.
Well, you know me, like, every time I watch a film, I like put it on social media and like put the number that like how many films I watch. And every time I'm like, fuck, I'm sure I've seen more than this, but it's not. But I think it's because I watched so many Godzilla films. I was like, I've definitely seen more, but I'm like 172 for the year. So
I mean, it's not bad.
I've been watching more TV.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that because I'm usually more on movies, but the last few months I've watched a lot of TV. I'm watching The Sopranos now. Have you ever seen The Sopranos?
No,
Oh man, I'm obsessed.
We've gone back and we've restarted Lost.
Oh, have you?
Grace's first time watching it, so it's like a religious experience for me. Every 2 seconds, I'm like checking, seeing
What
a reaction.
season are you on?
We're still on season one,
Oh,
so.
yeah. See, me and Ellen started watching that a while ago. We got through season one, then got into season two. And unfortunately, she weren't really feeling it, which is a bit devastating.
Eleanor, come on, man.
I know, yeah. But I love Lost, so I'm happy for you that you get to revisit that.
I've been watching the Chucky TV show,
That just
which
got
is
cancelled, didn't it?
it did, but it's still fucking amazing.
See, I only watched, it's not on my list, so I can say this, but I only watched Child Play for the first time recently.
Really?
Yeah, the
Well,
very
to be
first
fair, I
episode.
watched it for the first. I watched, our friend Dan. I said, "Oh, I'd like to watch the Chucky films," and then the next day, I had 2 seasons of the TV show plus every film on Blu-ray back on my desk at work, ready for me to watch. So.
It's a good agony.
Is a good one, but
Question.
I like how we said it as well. When we come back, we'll try and keep it shorter. We'll keep the things for, and we've done nothing but waffle for the first however
Hey,
long.
this is the first time in 7 months. We had to catch up a little bit, at least. It's not like, well, to be fair, I was about to say we actually see each other a bit in person, but it did take me 8 months to give you your Christmas present. So that's not necessarily true, is it?
That's true.
Give
That's
you that
true.
in August. Speaking of which, this is also off topic, but I bought my first Christmas present of the year today.
That's dire.
No, it's not. No, I need to get it early because if I buy more with the same paycheck, it'll feel like I'm spending more. If I spread it out, it won't feel as much.
I have gone for the tactic of I can't afford it this year, guys. More important things.
Oh, that's a good call, that. I
Oh,
should do the same with wedding.
yeah. I thought you were going to say, I should do the same again. Fuck it.
But yeah, that and all. If it gets me cheap Christmases, then yeah. Man's got to do what a man's got to do. But yeah, we have been waffling. So we'll crack on then if you want. You can go first with your number five if you want.
Oh, we're counting down. I just got him. Just I've not ranked him.
Oh, I've ranked him.
Oh, fucking hell. You go first, then we're number five. Let me rank.
All right.
This is we're back and we're already unprepared. Fucking hell.
I know, yeah. So my number five is a movie from 1983 called The Big Chill. Have you ever seen The Big Chill?
Never even fucking heard of it.
Really? So this is a film that's starring Jeff Goldblum and William Hurt. It's Lawrence Kasdan. It's about a group of college friends well, they were friends in college, but they've left and they're a bit older and they've drifted apart.
College friends are friends in college.
Yeah, but I mean like they're not still in college. These are adults. These are big boys, and they've all drifted apart. But they're brought back to the like where they went to college. They're all brought back and reunited because one of their friends dies. So they're all brought back for the funeral, and then everyone like reconnects, and they spend a weekend together in a house, like just like catching up and like smoking weed and getting drunk. And it's really funny, but it's also like a really like moving movie. It's got a great soundtrack. It literally opens with the Rolling Stones, "Can't Always Get What You Want," which is a fucking great song. Some of the comedy is really dark, which I always appreciate. Like, there's a lot of jokes made at the expense of the friend who has died, but that's like, it's like the sort, it felt genuine. It's like the sort of thing you would do with your friends to try to cheer each other up, and it just really works. Annoyingly, the friend that died, they didn't end up showing like anything of them, but originally the plan was to show like flashbacks, and they cast Kevin Costner, and they didn't
Oh.
use it, which is a fucking great shame because I'd like to see him. Because not
Was
to
he busy doing Waterworld or something?
No, this is about 10 years before. This is actually probably before he was really famous.
All right.
So that might be why they cut him out. They felt like they could get away with it. But not to spoil too much, but there's another Kevin Costner film on my list. So I would have appreciated seeing him in that. But yeah, The Big Chill, it's a really good film. It's really moving. There were some genuinely really emotional moments, but it also was really funny. So I will be rewatching that. And I'll watch your number five. Have you ranked him now?
I have now, yeah.
That's all right then. I just waffled on so he could give you the chance.
Thanks for that last minute fucking heads up.
I just thought that's what you meant when you said top five films we've watched.
Next time we do it when we record the next one, the first head to head. Let's plan a bit before.
Yeah, I think we should. That's quite good actually, because not to pull back the curtain too much, quite literally. We were going to record two today, but we've had to push it back because of plans. So that make at least we will actually be prepared, because I definitely wasn't right now.
I wrote mine down on a post-it note, which I'm covering up, like literally as I sat down to record.
Yeah, all right. So what's your number five then?
Number five, Deadpool and Wolverine.
Oh yeah, that's fair play. I do know I've not got any movies from this year.
If you're not, I've got three.
I think I was saving them for end of year best films of 2024.
I mean, they could come back up. They could
Yeah,
come back.
that's true. That's true. So what do you like about that?
I mean, what's not to like about it? It's fun, isn't it? It's just like, I know there's criticisms about the story and like there's not really a plot and the plot only moves forward so you can have these moments. But as a fan of Marvel who's kind of backed away from it, like I'm still watching them on a, you know, whenever they come out and the shows and whatever, yeah, but I'm just not as invested anymore. It was nice to have that kind of just a fun romp again. Like it's Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool, which yeah, he is a one trick pony, Ryan Reynolds at this point. But Deadpool is that one trick that actually works, and bringing him back and having him not dumbed down because it's Disney or censored or anything because it's Disney, having him like go full on still was great. And yeah, we have been waiting for Deadpool and Wolverine for ages. Having Hugh Jackman come back in the yellow suit, being able to go feral and just, I mean, he does use the, I was gonna say the F word as if we don't ever fucking swear on this podcast, but he does say fuck like a 12-year-old that's just learned it. But it's just fun. I think genuinely, maybe in a couple of years, like No Way Home, it's going to feel like one of the movies that isn't that good, but I only love it because of the people in it and the cameos. But genuinely, I watched it 3 times in cinema, all IMAX, obviously. I'm not a peasant. But I watched it 3 times, and each time I got that emotional feeling of the Fox after credit scene. Like where it's just a celebration of the that era of movies, that era of superhero movies. So like when I don't know if we're spoiling stuff, but when people come out and you see certain characters, it's like, right, okay, you could have done this and you could have done that just for the cheap Marvel stuff, but you didn't. You wrote a love letter to this era of superhero, and I think that's what it really excels in, rather than just being, obviously there's loads of fucking MCU jokes. And that bit where he smacks his head against the camera and says, fuck you, Fox, I'm going to Disney, is literally one of the funniest things in the movie. But the action's great, the comedy's great, but it's the love letter part of it that I genuinely love. And credit where credit's due to Ryan Reynolds for using that opportunity not to boost himself, but to just show love for that era.
Yeah, I agree. I really liked it. I think I'm more distant on Marvel now because there's a lot of the TV shows and stuff that I haven't even watched. Like, I've heard
Get
good
on
about.
Agatha. Agatha's great, and
Yeah,
it's
I've
got
heard
all
really
these.
good stuff about Agatha, but I've not watched it. I haven't watched any of them in a while. I think the last TV show I watched was like Loki season one, which shows how long it's been. Was that before or after Hawkeye? Because maybe Hawkeye was the last one I watched.
Well, Hawkeye is still the best thing that Marvel's ever put out. So,
Well,
as
I'm not
a
commenting
character
on that.
in the TV show.
I'm not going to comment on that, but yeah, I really liked it as well. And I was worried about Deadpool coming into the Marvel and whether they were going to like really water him down, but they proved that they weren't, and they stuck to what worked. And yeah, it was a really fun movie. I watched it twice in the cinema, so I can appreciate that movie. But it probably will be one like No Way Home. I mean, it's already there's people online trying to slate it, which it seems it always happens. You can never make everyone happy, but oh
You have
well.
to give it a couple of weeks, and then people come out of the woodwork saying, "Oh, it's overrated." But just fuck it, enjoy what you enjoy. Fuck off.
Yeah, and I think they did really well with Wolverine. Like, some of the way they've like finally adapted like his comic book mannerisms and like his look, I think it worked really well.
It was a huge love letter. It's basic. I saw somebody tweet that. I mean, do you still call it tweet on X? You saw somebody X that, Kevin Feige obviously has wanted so many versions of Wolverine throughout of his career, and in one film he got them all. Like you got comic book accurate Wolverine, you got like costumes that are accurate. You got one costume in particular that recreates a comic book cover scene that is even better than the main one they use in the film. Like he proper just like, right, this is the Wolverine everybody's wanted for years. No more black leather, no more like water it down. This is our Wolverine, and loved it.
Yeah, me too. So moving on to my number four then. This is the movie that actually like kick-started like a run where I watched a lot of this director's work. So I've never really seen a lot of it before, only just his recent stuff, but I've not watched like the majority of his big like releases. So my number four is The Sixth Sense by M.
You
Night
know
Shyamalan.
what? I've never seen The Sixth Sense.
No,
And you know, it's one of them where I know the twist, so I don't give a fuck anymore.
Yeah, I see. I'd only seen from M. Night Shyamalan. I'd only seen Knock at the Cabin
Yeah.
and then Trap. So I'd only seen his most recent work. I've never watched any of his older stuff. So I was like flicking through the like on Sky, like all the movies, and it was just on there. And so I thought I'd give it a try because I liked Trap a lot. I thought Knock at the Cabin was fine, but I really enjoyed Trap. So I thought I'd heard so much about Sixth Sense anyway. So I gave it a watch. I knew the twist, unfortunately, as well. But it does, I think that actually helps in a certain way because you're looking for clues all the way through, you're looking for like little hints and stuff. And I think the performances are just incredible. Like Haley Joel Osment is like, as it for a kid, it was like lights out. Like I couldn't believe how good he was. Obviously, Bruce Willis was Bruce Willis. Like it's one of my favorite actors of all time. Anytime I watch a movie of Bruce Willis shows up, it just gets better for me. So I'm always willing to watch a Bruce Willis movie. But yeah, I really, really like the Sixth Sense. I think the way they incorporate the like horror is brilliant. The ending is obviously the most memorable moment, but there's one just before that between Haley Joel Osment and his mum, and they have a conversation in the car, and it actually moved me to tears. It was so well done. It was just incredible. And yeah, I really fucking like the Sixth Sense. Like I really liked it, and because of that, I went on and watched. I watched Signs. I watched Split. I watched The Village. I watched The Happening. Some of them are absolute dog shit, but others I really enjoyed. And I've watched quite a few of M. Night's films now. Like he doesn't always hit, but you can always tell when it's one of his movies because he goes quite bold and like he's not afraid to take risks. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But yeah, The Sixth Sense was one that really got me on that run, and it's by far his best work still, I think. So that was easy for me at number four.
I've never seen it. I've not really seen it. I've seen Knock at the Cabin. I think I've seen the Avatar movie, which is
Yeah, we don't talk about that.
a nail gun to the head.
I also watch After Earth, and that sucked and all.
Actually don't think I've seen a lot of his films, but like everybody always tells me I should, but I don't want to be. I don't know. There's something about it. Like the stuff that I have seen, I'm like, it's not like I didn't like Signs. And there wasn't, what's the other one with the. Is it The Village?
Yeah, with Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, not weren't a fan of that either. So I think it just kind of really put me off him. And with Sixth Sense, it's one of those. I know it's a glaring omission, and I know it's probably good because it is Bruce Willis. Yeah, knowing that twist, it's just always kind of gone. Well, if I see it and I go, I'll put that on, I'm going, nah, I already know what's going to happen now. I'll watch another
Yeah.
Godzilla.
Yeah. Have you seen Unbreakable?
No, I started watching Unbreakable and then I had a power cut and never went back to
Oh, that's a good one. That was
it.
probably the first M. Night film I ever watched, actually. I forgot that when I just listed the ones I'd seen. I have that on DVD somewhere, but that was good. I enjoyed that one.
That Bruce Willis, that's Bruce Willis as well, isn't it?
Yeah, and Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, he's yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, because he's Unbreakable. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's your number four?
My number four is Charlize Theron's Atomic Blonde.
I don't think
Have you?
I've seen that.
It's brilliant. It's a film that was recommended to me many, 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 many times by my friend Rich, who owns Ground Zero Comics in Mansfield.
Well, past that today, I told Ellen that your friend owned that actually.
I
Quite
probably would.
coincidence. I literally walked past it today and said
You could have looked in. I probably waved.
that.
It's like a. It's a proper like neo, like really 80s spy thriller. Set in the Cold War, set in Russia before the Berlin Wall falls. And there's not really much I can give away for the story other than it is a, like a really, really gritty spy thriller. Charlize Theron plays a spy, hence the spy thriller aspect of it. And it's just so dripping with style and atmosphere and twists and turns. Obviously, betrayals. It's literally one of the sexiest films I've ever seen without being like overtly purposefully sexy. Its soundtrack is full of that 80s like synth goodness, but obviously mixed with the like the kind of Russian aspect of it all, like Kraftwerk and stuff like that. And it's just brilliant. And there's not a lot I can say about it without spoiling it, but it's really action packed. It's from the guy that made the Fall Guy,
Okay, yeah.
one of his earlier movies. So you can't. Did he make Bullet Train as well?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. So you can kind of already understand the kind of the style of the action. But it's a lot darker and a lot more serious, even though it is like over the top action. But it's really, 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 really good. I would recommend you watch it because it's
Yeah.
very, very.
Well, I really like Bullet Train and Fall Guys, so that is something I'll probably check out.
Well, they lean more into obviously like the more comedy aspect of it, but this is like just that same kind of style, that same kind of like coolness and action-packed goodness, but without it's still funny in places, but without it's full into that more of a thriller aspect of it, and it's
Yeah.
really, really good.
Cool. Yeah, I'll keep
Plus,
going.
Sharon on, so.
Yeah, she's great, isn't she? Apart from in That Thing You Do, she's a little bitching
Yeah, that's true.
now. Looking forward to the dentist. That's outrageous. So my number three then is a movie that I only watched literally this month, I think. So it's just neat. Actually, there's two other films on here I've only watched like very, very recently. But my number three is Primal Fear from 1996, starring Richard Gere and Edward Norton. It's a courtroom drama about a young altar boy who is found fleeing the scene of like this brutal murder of an archbishop. And he's covered in the blood, and the police arrest him, and everyone thinks it's nailed on, he's done it. And this hotshot lawyer who sees like the money signs and the free publicity he'll get if he takes on this case because it's so high profile, volunteers to like represent the young man and try get him off the. Not getting off. That's so weird. Fucking hell. Richard Gere tries to get him off.
Watch it. If look, if we could have put, are we counting those films as well? Because I'm changing my list.
I say you'll be writing it down if I say that. But no, he tries to like get him free. I don't actually know the right term. Get him out, not guilty. I don't know. What do you say?
Charges dropped. I don't know.
Something like that, sure, whatever.
Innocence.
But like, it's there's multiple twists in it, and it's like not all it's what it seems with the young man, and like you go back and forth on whether you think you did it, whether you don't. There's moments where you're like really convinced that there's something wrong with him, and then there's other times you feel bad for him, and you don't really know where the outcome is going to fall. You don't know whether he's gonna be found guilty or not. You don't know where you like I say, you don't even know whether he's done it, like. And there's just a few moments in the film which just really fucking blew my mind. There's not many films like these days where I go into it and like I don't kind of figure things out like along the way, or I already knew about the twist like with the internet and stuff. But this film, like there were multiple twists where I was just like, holy fucking shit. And it ends on one of the greatest plot twists like I'd ever seen. Like, and it really, really shocked me. And it's Ed Norton's first film, Edward Norton's very first film. And he is insane, like he's so good in it. I've not seen too many Edward Norton films. I know he's not got a great like reputation. Apparently he's a bit of a knob to work with, but at this point he was like I said, still fairly young. It was the very first movie he did, and he was just incredible as this young man accused of this crime. So yeah, I couldn't recommend Primal Fear enough. It's great.
I've never even, again, never heard of it. But it's that like courtroom drama from the what, 90s?
Yeah, 96 it was.
I bet that definitely flew under the radar.
Yeah.
But don't tell the spoiler because
No, I won't. Oh,
yeah.
I'm keeping it all to myself.
Also, while you were talking, very off topic, I realized the way we did our well, say we, but the way we did our announcement that we were coming back was to Backstreet Boys, and our first episode we're wearing all white matching caps.
First of all, this is blue.
Is it? It looks white on camera.
It's blue. This is white. Yeah, and you also play Backstreet, who were like one of my fucking favorite like bands
You
ever.
wait till we get to the like the best part of the episode. We both stand out of our seats at the same time and start speaking.
Yeah, we've got choreographed dance planned and everything.
That's how we're going to end the episodes from now on. Choreographed dance.
Like the reverse of Deadpool and Wolverine. We're gonna dance out instead of opening up their dance. But each week gonna be a different 90s boy band. There's a few we've got to go through. We've got Take That, Westlife, we've got them all. So what's your number three?
Number three is an actor I know that you absolutely love, so you'll
Oh
love this.
shit.
It's not Kevin Spacey, don't worry. You're still his number one fan.
Oh,
No,
do you mean
absolutely.
actually love, or were you being sarcastic?
No, I know you genuinely love him.
Oh,
So,
okay.
but it's a film that I've never seen before, and I know what one that everybody loves. I finally watched it and I was like, why the fuck have I never seen this 90s film? Speed with Keanu Reeves.
I fucking knew it was going to be someone I didn't really like. To be fair, actually, I've seen Speed and I like him in that.
Such a good film. Like he channels that kind of like Point Break cop in him again. But it's just fucking fantastic. Like it's action-packed non-stop. But it's really, really good and entertaining. By this point, everybody else other than me has probably already seen Speed, so I don't know anyone else to say outside of like it's just fucking it's energetic constantly. And his like the chemistry between him and Sandra Bullock. I'm not a huge Sandra Bullock fan. I know that's blasphemy. I always get confused with like Julia Roberts and all the others because I don't know. But the chemistry in that film is like you could literally see it in the air between them. Well, not literally, that was metaphorical. But you could like you can see in the air between them when they're speaking. It's I'm going to bring out an old word. It's fucking phenomenal, and it's just like
Now we're back.
not a second went by in that film where I was like even thought about looking at my phone. Like it just gripped me from start to finish, from the bit at the beginning, like where they're infiltrating that building, all the way up until the end, trying to figure out. Like, it's a stupid. It's like it is a very, very stupid premise. Like there's a bomb on the bus, you can't slow down, and it just goes. But the way they like creatively use ways to get people off the bus, to keep the speed up, to like move traffic, to trying to figure out who planted the bomb and what way he is and everything. It's just non-stop in it. I absolutely loved it and I cannot. And then somebody was like, don't watch Speed 2.
Yeah,
Just
I've
don't.
heard that.
So I left it and I've just watched Speed 1 and left it at Speed 1. And I'm happy with that. I never need to be have it ruined. But
Yeah, I'm never watching Speed 2.
just so good. Like I think I rated it 5 stars on Letterboxd. It was just immediately like I know I love this movie now.
Yeah.
And I
I
will
don't
definitely.
think there's ever been a better looking woman than Sandra Bullock in that movie. I think she looks incredible in that movie.
Mean, she does look incredible in that movie, but I'm not
Yeah.
gonna go that far.
To be fair, I think I've got the wrong movie. I think I'm thinking of Sandra Bullock in A Time to Kill. Where it's that's another Corbin one that I watched earlier this year, and it's like a heat wave in the summer and nothing's really working, so she's all sweaty all the time. Maybe that's what I'm thinking. I need to get red out of the gutter.
That does work, but nobody on film will ever be.
Rachel McAdams in Eurovision.
No, well, yeah, also, yeah, but nobody will ever be. Oh, what's the fucking name of the actress? Baby in Dirty Dancing when she's wearing that fucking pink unitard and blue jeans and she's dancing on bridge. Cal, that is my. If everybody gets a personal heaven when they die, I'm going to be on that bridge with her forever.
I don't even know what mine would be. Too many options. But yeah, I
Well,
really like Speed. I think there's not a dull moment, and I think that really helps that movie. Like, it doesn't ever stop. It's just always there's always something going on because of like the situation. It's just constant like action, which I always enjoy. There's a really funny line in it and all, and I can't remember what it is exactly, but it's one of the passengers when he does something and the random passenger starts talking about how giant his balls are because he does something brave. And I really can't remember the actual line, but he told I think I actually put it on my Letterboxd review, so I'm gonna quickly look it up. But I'm like pretty sure he says something about Keanu Reeves' balls being huge because of something he did. And I remember watching it and I fucking pissed myself. It came out of nowhere. Let me double check what it was. You're not too bright, man, but you've got some big round hairy cojones. Is an actual line of dialogue that one of the passengers on that bus says to Keanu Reeves during that movie. So, if that doesn't tell you Speed's a cracking film, I don't know what will. My number two is a film that I watched maybe in the summer, and I liked it that much that I've already rewatched it once. And that is a Kevin Costner film called Field of Dreams.
Fucking hell. Jesus
Oh,
Christ.
man,
This
I
is
tell you what.
the cheesiest
What?
That's like one of the cheesiest films ever.
It was fucking superb. The first time I watched it, I was writing. I was sat here actually, and I had my TV in the corner, and I was working. I thought I'll put someone on in the background while I'm working. Field of Dreams. That sounds like it's just one of those easy films that you can just stick on and just won't take too much attention, and it'll just chill. By end of it, I was fucking in bits. I was tears watching it. It's fucking so good. I loved it so much, and like all the performances are incredible. Kevin Costner is. He's not someone I'm like that big on. Like, I haven't seen that many Kevin Costner films, and I'm not really that
Just
definite.
twice. Just twice in your list already.
He doesn't appear in Big Chill. He almost did.
I almost appeared, yeah. All right.
But like, he's not someone who, like, if there's a film and it's starring Kevin Costner, I'm going to rush to the cinema to see it. But I really, really liked this. And it's got probably, this is blasphemous to say, but my favorite James Earl Jones performance.
Really?
Because he gets to shine. Like, in Lion
So
King, he's just a voice. In Star Wars, he's just a voice. But he
killed
gets to
the
really, he is. There's nothing else to it, is there, really? He's like voiceover work, but in this, it's him. He's got a personality. He's funny, and he gives this really, like, I'm not a baseball fan, but he gives a really moving speech towards the end of the movie about how important baseball's been to America and like the fans and like how it's one constant that's always been there, no matter the struggles and stuff. And I'm not even a baseball guy, and I was like, fucking right, James Earl Jones. Baseball rocks. Never seen a game, but it fucking rocks. It's also got a great Ray Liotta performance before Goodfellas. I fucking loved it, and I rewatched it just after James Earl Jones died, and I loved it even more. I think it's gonna be one of those that grows on me every single time. Like, I think the first time I watched it, I said 4 stars. I rewatched it in September and I went 4.5, and I think the next time it'll probably be 5 because it's fucking sick.
Be honest, when you watched it after James Earl Jones cried, I'm gonna put money on that you cried.
Oh yeah, I mean, I cried both times. Listen.
I
Me crying is getting out of hand. Have you ever seen the BBC game show, The Wheel, with Michael McIntyre?
McIntyre.
That's a blasphemous take, but we'll skip past that. It's like a game, it's a quiz show where a contestant has to answer questions and they're helped by celebrities. And I cried at that yesterday. I swear to God. So what's wrong with me? I'm telling you, I'm getting way too emotional in my old age, but it was emotional for me.
Do you want to take a quick sidebar to talk about the one thing we both definitely fucking cried over the past couple of months?
The trailer to Superman, a Christopher Reeve story.
What? Yeah, I forgot about that. I was talking about young Sheldon, but yeah, we fucking
Oh Christ, yeah, that and all. We cried at a trailer and we cried at young Sheldon, yeah.
actually, no, I think actually crying at a trailer is much worse than crying at a TV show
Yeah,
to
that
make you
trailer
feel
got me. We still need to try
better.
figure out a way to watch that because we're both busy the one time it's been shown.
Literally, like we've been messaging each other about like the Superman story, the story of Christopher Reeve's movie, the documentary that's coming out. We both wanted to watch it, and we've both said multiple times, no matter what, we are fucking watching this together. And then the one day it's out to watch, we're both busy, we can't do
Yeah, you've got plans, a family member's birthday, and I'm up in Yorkshire, so
it.
it's a
And
bit madness.
they don't have cinemas in Yorkshire, so.
No, did he shy? Filey, there's no chance. I think even Brid, there was one hidden in the back of an arcade, and that was it. And it had like two screens. You know, it's not great up there. But yeah, we're looking forward to that. Young Sheldon had me fighting for my life because I only finished it on Sunday because it was like they had the last two episodes finally on E4. We've been watching it on TV as it comes out, and I was fucking gone. I was so bad. So was Eleanor, though, so it's fine. I think what's worse, though, about that, because we're completely off topic now, talking about young Sheldon, for anyone that doesn't want to know spoilers, mute
I
your.
mean, if
Mute.
you're on social media, you definitely have seen what's happened in Young Sheldon.
Yeah, but like, because I'm not a Big Bang Theory fan, but Eleanor is, so I've seen episodes in the past and I knew what happened to Sheldon's dad. So even beforehand, it felt like, even though his death was like rather sudden in story, it felt almost to us like he had some long-term illness, like we knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Every episode came and I was like, please don't be the one, please don't be the one.
Apparently, like, 'cause he had a heart attack in season one. Apparently, that's when he was like, they were gonna kill him off.
Thank God they didn't.
Well, yeah, thank God they didn't. And they changed because obviously the actor's great and the chemistry is great. Really off topic now, but the actor's great. But then, like, in the lead up to the final season, they were like, no, we don't like this, isn't our kind of show. Like, we're not gonna, like, we're not, we all know he dies. We don't want to do that. So they managed to trick everybody into. Like the surprise of it still happening. And when it happened, I was like, even though I knew it was happening and I knew when it was happening, when it happened, it still fucking shocked me. I was like, fuck.
Yeah,
Anyway,
it
but
was
two.
emotional. But yeah, we'll go back to movies, which is what this is about. What's your number two?
Man Number Two is a film we literally watched last week together. And it, by the sounds of it, might be your number one, but
It's not on my list. because I was
Is it?
saving 2024 movies for the end.
Okay. Well, I'll repeatedly talk about it at the end of the year. Fine by me.
Yeah.
I have never been in a film in a cinema screen where I've continuously not stopped laughing. Like, I was laughing. I was continuous. I did not stop laughing, did I? To the most horrific fucking shit I've ever seen in my life. To the point, like, you can watch fucking, you can, I know you can watch gross shit, and you were cringing.
Yeah.
But
There was one
the
moment in particular where I got called out for like screaming. I was like, fucking, don't shame me.
Terrifier 3. Oh,
Oh.
what a fucking movie. Like, the first, like, we watched the double bill because I'd never seen it before. We watched the double bill together a couple of weeks before in the cinema, and I really liked the first film. With how, like, low budget it was, and, like, yeah, I said it felt kind of like fan filmy, with our friend Tom in it. And then, like, the second one I really, really liked. So obviously, got a bit more budget, a bit more of a following, but this one, like, the second one was a bit too long. So the first one, the second one, I kind of put things, had things that make it out of balance. Whereas this one was just, oh, fucking brilliant. Like, it's genuinely like one of the grossest things I've ever seen. Because I've never really watched horror up until like the past couple of years. So I've not seen like really hardcore stuff, but this is probably the most hardcore thing I've ever seen in terms of violence. But it's so funny in the way it does it. Like, I was like fucking holding my stomach laughing. That's how good it was. But it's fucking gross. And the story is so much better. And Art the Clown is just iconic. Like, I've not stopped looking at fucking funny videos making of behind the scenes. Like, the guy who plays Art the Clown, like, just going to events in makeup and stuff, just the kind of impact this film's had. And working in a cinema has the absolute benefit of seeing people come out of that film as well. Going in saying, oh, well, I've seen the stuff on Netflix that everybody says that it's too scary, so I'll be able to handle this. And then coming out going, fucking hell. Like, at one point, there was a woman that we were sat on the aisle when we watched it, and the woman on the other side of the aisle, I can't remember if we even said it to you on the night we watched it. When it went quiet, she literally points over and talks to the person next to her, saying, he keeps fucking laughing. She was traumatized, bless her. And it's just so good and so over the top. Saying it to somebody today, like, you're so over the top that it goes past the point of, like, it go past the point of ridiculous into a point that's like, it's just so over the top. It's brilliant, and I absolutely love that film. I know you did too, but obviously, same for a different list. But just a intensely gross. There is one bit that I was like, and it's the bit with the shard of glass. I won't say no more. Shard of mirror. But the rest of it, it's the most disgusting comedy I've ever seen. It is brilliant.
There was a guy on the row next to us, an older man, who at one point I heard shout, "This just ain't right, is it?" Why
Yeah, I remember.
does it tell you to watch Terrifier 3? I don't know what will. Everyone
That
should
was
watch
in like the
Terrifier 3.
first 15, 20 minutes, weren't it?
Yeah, like Terrifier is a franchise that I hold really dear. And I think it's one of the most original like takes on the horror slasher genre and we've had in a long, long time. It's so different to anything that else is that's being made now. That first movie was made for like $35,000, which is incredible. Then the second one was like 250,000, and now this one was like 2 million. And I just think it truly is like it's proof that like Cinderella stories can still happen in Hollywood because it's like each one he makes, it just gets better and better. And his resistance to ever signing it off to some major studio and letting them take control, and he's just stuck with his vision, and I think it really shines through in Terrifier 3 because it's fucking awesome. Like
Yeah.
the Christmas vibe contrasting with like the first 10 minutes, I felt Christmassy, you know. I was like, oh no, this has got me. And then he shows up, and I was like, no, I've never felt less Christmas in my entire fucking life. This is gross. But it's so funny as well. Like, I think that's what makes it different because there's movies where it gets gross and it's dark. Like Hostel is a movie that's really grotesque, but and it feels dingy, whereas Terrifier, it's so gross that it's hysterical. And Art the Clown is fucking, he's so different to any other horror movie villain. Like, I've been watching GIFs of him seeing Santa through that window over and over and over. I was even showing Eleanor because I thought it was that funny. Like, he's great. And there's a.
There's a bit where he's overhearing two college people talking. I won't like give too much away, but he's overhearing two people talking, and every time they say something, it shows you his reaction. And there's one bit particular where she says she doesn't want to do something, and his reaction, honestly, I want that as a little clip to just go back and look to. It honestly is so funny. But yeah, like I've seen interviews with the creator, Damien Leone. Yeah, whereas like no studio wants it, but now people are like reaching out, and like what I want to do, they won't let me do. Like he wants to go, like he wants to do another one, and he wants to, like he said, it's going to be even more. It's going to be even like I thought of the fact that he says I've thought of things that I've not even been able to do yet is one, worrying, and two, exciting. But he said like he, if given the chance, he'd want to do a Friday the 13th movie or a Nightmare movie. And yeah, I can see him doing really well with that, and I bet he will eventually. And the guy that plays Art the Clown, like he wants to be the Joker, and fuck it, if he doesn't mind being typecast, fucking go for it, because I've seen his impression of like what he'd do for the Joker. It sounds amazing. So
Yeah, it's just,
hope that this gets all the success in the world.
yeah, I think it's just a culmination, like this film of like such like a decade's worth of hard work. And like a lot of people are saying that Art the Clown's like some industry plant, which is a weird phrase anyway, but people are convinced it's like this rise in popularity has been like manufactured. But the guy's been around for well over a decade. Like Damien Leone was doing short films, like he did one called All Hallows Eve, which I watched a long time ago, and that had Art the Clown in it. Then that was like 2012 time, and then 2016, this $35,000 really low budget movie, which he still managed to do some incredible stuff with, and then it's just kept going and going. Like I think about the way he hired these actors back then, these people that weren't very known, low profile names, and now they're getting invited onto these talk shows, like. Obviously, there's the guy that plays Art the Clown, whose name escapes me, unfortunately. I can't quite remember it. But then there's also the woman who plays Vicky, which
I know you've
it's
got
incredible that she's been brought back three times now. Like she's been in all three as well. And like that's a woman that probably thought it was a one and done for $35,000. And now she's in a movie that's just made $18 million in its first weekend. Like it's outgrossed the Joker this like weekend. It's incredible. I fucking loved it. I love Terrifier 3. I'm going to talk about it more at the end of the year because it is
Yeah.
unbelievable. It's one of my favorite. It's one of the most fun experiences I've ever had in a cinema because of how just surround in a packed screen with all the different reactions and seeing your sister-in-law like practically hugging herself. She felt that like girl sat on the seat next to her. It was really funny. But yeah, I love it as well. So I don't.
When we went to watch Terrifier 1 and 2, the double bill, like that was packed out as well. Like there was a full screen of people. And these, like obviously they've got a cult following now. And I don't want it to become like the next Halloween or the next, like this becomes this big franchise. I kind of want it to stay as it is. But I was thinking to myself, like in 10 years' time, are we going to get like a Rob Zombie version of Terrifier, like a Rob Zombie studio remake of Terrifier, like they did with like other films and stuff like that. So I don't know. I kind of like it as it is. Just keep it, like let it be thing, and then
Yeah, and
never
I
kind of.
respect that he's so far stuck to his guns and he's sticking to his vision. And he's not, because he said in I listened to an interview he did with Chris Jericho, who obviously appears in the movie. He went on Jericho's podcast last week and he spoke about it. He said he'd had conversations with certain studios, but they were already immediately saying stuff like they wanted to get it down to like an R rating and tone down a bit. And he was like, absolutely not, that's not happening. Like, this is
Yeah.
my vision. And I'm telling the story the way I think it should be told. And I respect him so much for that because it's really paid off. And like the popularity is just growing with each one. Like the fact this has already made more than part two is it's such a great story. I'm so happy for it. And he said like with part four, he's obviously already had all these ideas and he keeps going back to he's done a lot of research into like medieval times and the way they used to torture people then, and that's where he gets his inspiration for stuff. And if that doesn't tell you how fucked up some of these kills are, then I don't know what does.
Well, can't wait.
Yeah. We'll move on then because I think we spent quite a bit of time on that because we both love it. But moving on to my number one then. This is another movie that I watched very, very recently. But again, it was one I put on while I was working, thinking I'll give this a try now because I'd heard so much about it. But I'll finally see what it's all about. And by the end of it, Eleanor walked in and said, "I just looked fucking shell shocked. There were tears all day. I couldn't even see me work anymore." And that was the Green Mile.
Oh, really? You never seen the Green Mile before?
Never seen the Green Mile before. Obviously, based on a Stephen King novel, directed by Frank Darabont, who did The Shawshank Redemption. It came out, I think, in 1999. And it stars Tom Hanks and is it Michael Clarke Duncan?
Yeah.
Was that the actor's name? Yeah, who plays John Coffey, this ginormous man accused of quite some heinous crimes, and he's been sent essentially to death row. But when he's there, you see there's the doubt at first about whether he did it or not, and you see he's actually quite like a gentle giant, and he's just one of these most wholesome characters in any movie ever. And that was one I went in knowing the end. So everything that happened, I knew where the story was going, and I
Yeah.
was just fucking devastated all the way through. And when the end actually happened, you see all the way all the characters deal with that conclusion, and like the expressions on everyone's faces towards the end of that movie, and like seeing how hard it was for all of them, oh man, I was in bits. I was so upset, and I think that was a really like incredible performance from Michael Clarke Duncan. Like he was literally insane in that movie, and I know he didn't. I don't think he won anything for it, but he really should have done. Like, it was like because I'd only seen him in Daredevil, which less said about that, the Ben Affleck movie, and Armageddon, which is another
Yeah.
film that I used to cry all the time at. So I didn't really know he had this sort of performance in his bag, and then it just blew me away. So that was like an instant 5-star movie for me. And one I probably won't be rewatching for a while. First of all, it's 3 hours, and second of all, I think I almost died from dehydration and the amount of tears that left my body after watching that. So I'll give it a break before I go back to that. But I absolutely loved it. I think it was incredible, and one of Tom Hanks's more underrated performances for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise. Can you imagine Tom Cruise in that role?
God, I don't know. Christ, he'd have changed the ending. He'd have saved everyone somehow.
Whilst being attached to a plane. I don't like the Green Mile.
Have you seen it?
I've seen it. I've seen it a fair few times actually, and it's not one that I actively love. I can appreciate it and I can see why. Like, I know it's a good film, but it's just one that doesn't like strike a chord with me as much. Like, everybody's performance, Tom Hanks' performance, obviously Michael Clarke Duncan's performance, and everybody's performance in the film is fantastic. Sam Rockwell as well, like
Yeah,
in
he's great.
it, fucking brilliant in it. But yeah, it never really struck a chord with me, but I understand why everybody likes it. And it is such a good, like, Michael Clarke Duncan's softness. But also, like, his intimidation, like how intimidating he looks, is also like he's really real, well balanced, and he plays that really, really well. But yeah, it's not one that I've ever kind of gone, yeah, I really love this movie. Like, I've watched it, and it's on, and it's kind of, I'm like, yeah, it's good, it's all right, but it's never really struck a chord in me.
Yeah, I think it's obviously a very dark and gloomy story. It's not one you'd ever turn on to fucking cheer yourself up, put it that way. But I think the fact it's 3 hours kind of puts a lot of people off. But for me, I think it went really fast. And that's always a sign of a movie that I enjoy. Like if it's 3 hours, like full well, there was a movie that we watched very, very, very recently, which was 3 hours, and it felt like six, I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, it was our fault for watching the Hobbit extended.
Extended. Yeah, but that felt long. Whereas the Green Mile, it went by like really, really quickly for me. So I can't. I really enjoyed it. Even afterwards, it's always another sign of a good movie for me is afterwards. I've watched it alone, but then I can't. I'm like, I have to tell Eleanor about it. So like, she doesn't even watch it. I'm like, yeah, this was what I was going on. And like, when I get that sort of reaction to a movie, I know it really like really hit me deep. So yeah, Green Mile was the best movie I've watched since we last recorded in March. Now, what is your number one?
A similarly like deep movie, like Move Me, definitely. I can't even fucking do it. It's Godzilla versus Kong.
I was about to say, I knew it was going to be some fucking piss
Oh,
take.
Godzilla X Kong, the new empire. Look, I had like it was gonna be a Godzilla movie, we know that, and I had like I think I watched like 20 or maybe nine between 15 and 20 since we last recorded. And there were some good ones. So there's like probably about five different ones I could have picked. But Godzilla X, the new one that came out this year, is such a fucking stupid, over the top blast of color, nothing but like fights. Like it's just two fucking monsters. Well, more than two fighting against each other. And I love Godzilla X Kong. Yeah, Godzilla versus Kong. Sorry, we watched that one together as well, and
Yeah.
that was just dumb fun. But like, it was still kind of clinging on to we need to have this like deep story as well. It was still clinging on to that. Whereas this is just like, nah, fuck it. We've got Dan Stevens in an Hawaiian shirt as a fucking monster veterinarian, and we've got Hollow Earth that we can just jump through a portal, and we've got one of my the fact that I came out of this film, the one thing people's heard me talk about is when Kong grabs the smaller monkey and hits other monkeys with the smaller like, uses the smaller monkey as a weapon, and then fucking throws him to knock somebody else out. Like, that's the kind of tone we're looking at here, and then it just kind of crescends into this huge. I look like last year, my favorite film of the year was Godzilla Minus. Well, one of my favorite was Godzilla Minus One, and that's such a deep, dark tale of like survivor's guilt and the war and the ramifications of nuclear weapons and all that kind of stuff. This is the complete opposite side of the Godzilla fandom, and they need each other to be able to balance out. And it's just fucking monsters fighting. It's super colorful. My sister, who I don't think she's ever watched a Godzilla film before, probably watched it about, she probably watched it more times than me. Like, that's how, like, just to the masses it is. It's just so stupid. It's over the top. It's not deep in the slightest. It's just fucking fun. And I think I've watched it like four times this year now. I three times in cinema, once at home. And yeah, just like Grace watched it with me, and she found it fun. Like the fact is, like, long moments in the film, we've got no human characters. You've just got creatures that can't speak interacting, and you can follow, like, the story just keeps going. Like, the director wanted to do this movie without human characters. He wanted it to be all creatures. Obviously, humans when they're running around and scared and whatever, but they wanted to do it just Kong and Godzilla, like no dialogue. And I genuinely think if they'd let him, it would have worked, because it just follows along really, really easily. But I'm trying to defend, well, I'm not trying to defend, I'm trying to build up like this deep thing to it. It's not, it's just fucking stupid, and it's fun, and it's like I said, a blast of color. And at one point, Godzilla suplexes Kong into one of the pyramids, and it's just really, really over the top, and I loved it. Kong gets a fucking metal Gundam arm to help him fight because another monster's frozen his hand with ice breath. It's just stupid, and I loved it. And probably the most fun I've had in a cinema outside of Terrifier, which is, I think, says fucking a lot about me in like all year. And yeah, just makes me feel very shallow compared to your number one pick. But who gives a fuck?
Hey, there's not wrong with that. Not wrong with that at all. My number two pick was one of the cheesiest films of all time, so that's fine. Do you know, I've not seen the new one, Godzilla. Is it Godzilla X Kong? I've not seen it. But I thought the last one was all right. I think the best thing about like the Godzilla films, especially, is like you said, you can do the such different tones. Like I really, really enjoyed the one from last year. Was it Godzilla Minus?
The minus one,
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. Like, and I've not watched too many Godzilla movies, but I thought that was incredible, and it made me feel like, not many, but it made him like terrifying. And I thought that, in contrast to Godzilla versus Kong, which we watched together, like it couldn't get more different. But like, there's obviously fans of both sides, which works really well. But yeah, I've not seen it.
You
I
should.
don't think I will.
You just want 2 hours of pure fun, then you should. Plus, it's Dan Stevens, and
Yeah, I'll never have a bad word to say about him. He's good in everything.
one of the sexiest men alive.
Yeah. Speaking of Dan Stevens, actually, have you got any honorable mentions? Because I've
Yeah,
one
because
for
I was literally just about to jump into some more honorable mentions because I didn't get to speak to him. The Guest. If you've never seen The Guest, get the it's a Dan Stevens movie. And it's about a family who lose their son in the war, and one of his squad mates comes back to kind of like, what's the kind of way to put it? kind of like finish off the son's business, and like he said it, he would protect them and do this for them and that. And when he, if he couldn't make it back, so he comes, and it just turns into this, who is this character? Like it comes this like little bit of a thriller, and it's just, and I don't want to give anything more away from that, but it's just really fucking good. And Get the Guest by Dan Stevens watched.
Yeah, I was also going to say a Dan Stevens film, but that's it's one from this year which I made a conscious effort to leave off. But that's Annabelle, which was incredible. Not Abigail.
Abigail, yeah.
Yeah, Abigail, not Annabelle. That's the doll, Abigail the vampire. Which is a shame that they really
Which was
focused
meant
on
to be a
that.
twist, but
No, it's not. It's in the trailer.
yeah, I know, but apparently the director was like wanted it to be the twist, but they
Yeah, I
put it in
think that's what I was about to say. I think they fucking ruined it by giving it all away in the trailer. It's so disappointing because if that was a bit like From Dusk Till Dawn, where the first half of it is like this crime movie about these bank robbers that have taken a family hostage, and then the second half is these criminals and these hostages come across vampires, it's like, holy shit, no one saw that coming. Why didn't they do that with fucking Abigail? That would have been so good, but they give it away. Still a good film though, and Dan Stevens is great in it. Another one that I really liked, which I know you loved, but I only watched this year, is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie from last year.
Yes, that was my number one last year.
Yeah, I finally watched that. I really enjoyed that as well. I watched that on my plane to Florida, funnily enough. Yeah.
Beauties.
Yeah, it was good. I really liked the art in it as well. I thought the animation style was great, and I'd definitely watch more from that franchise.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what was now.
I watched Fighting With My Family for the first time this year.
Yeah, me too, me too.
About Paige? Yeah.
She was Paige in WWE, yeah.
And that's one that I've been wanting to watch for ages. And I saw it on Netflix. I was like, it's not been on any streaming services for ages. And I was like, I'm putting this on. And what a film! What a film! Really, really good.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
Tell you
It's
one that
good
I watched
fun.
for the first time this year, and I've never seen it. And it's one that my friends gave me shit for, was Batman: Mask of the Phantasm.
Yeah, I was in the same screen as you
Yeah.
watching that.
And that was really fucking, like, I can understand now why I got shit for it, because that's such a glaring hole. Because I love the animated series. I've seen
Yeah.
all of that. And so not seeing Phantasm was, that like, finally see it was brilliant. And I can't believe that they've never adapted Phantasm into any of the live action movies.
Yeah, that is one of my favorite Batman movies, actually. The Mask of the Phantasm. I also watched this year for the first time. Teen Wolf starring Michael J. Fox, which I'd never seen. Obviously, Back to the Future is my favorite movie of all
I've never
time.
seen them before.
Yeah, I've never got around to seeing it. I'd seen a couple of episodes from the TV show, which is very different, but I'd never seen the Teen Wolf movie, and then I sat down to watch it earlier this year and I loved it. I thought it was great, really fun. And Michael J. Fox is delightful as always. Like, I've never had a bad word to say about that guy. He's my homie.
Obviously.
There's obviously loads more that we can talk about, like
I'm saving some for my films released this year and films that I've
yeah,
watched for
there's
the time this year. I
yeah
can't do a top 10 list of Godzilla movies, so.
no, there are a few. One film I will say which came out this year, which I'm going to mention just because I saw it earlier today in HMV, and me and Ellen were talking about how much we enjoyed it, and that was Bad Boys Ride or Die, which is way better than I thought it's going to be.
I literally was going to talk about that. I was like, I'll wait till the end of the year to talk about it. I fucking love that film.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that one. That was way better than I thought it was going to be. I thought the first one I've always loved. I thought the last one was fine, but not
I
good.
couldn't
And this one I loved.
even remember watching three.
Yeah, there's it wasn't very memorable, as I thought this one was awesome.
Yeah. I think I watched that. Yeah, I watched that in the cinema a couple of times as well. And it's just brilliant.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I watched the original King Kong this summer.
The original.
The very, very first one. Yeah, that was great. I really enjoyed that. I watched Hitman, the new
Glenn,
Glenn
the Glenn
Powell.
Powell.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that was
Yeah.
great. I watched fucking loads. I ain't telling you all the ones I enjoyed because, like I said, I watched over 200 things. But some really good stuff. Like, even just this month, because I'm trying to watch horror movies I've never seen before, because I always watch the same ones year after year. I always revisit Halloween and Scream. So I've made a conscious effort to watch ones I've not ever watched, and I've watched quite a few Stephen King ones like The Mist and Carrie, which are both fucking awesome. The original Carrie is It's a movie I'm disappointed I've took this long because I'd heard so much good stuff about it and I watched it and I was like, Jesus, yeah, this is fucking like next level.
That many horror films this month so far, other than Terrifier. What I was made to watch Sinister, and genuinely, ugh, what a fucking shit movie.
I actually can't believe that that's your opinion on Sinister. I love Sinister.
Yeah, mate. I like that home footage bits. Whenever he's watching the videos, I like the videos. I hate everything else. I think I put it in my letterbox review. You know, how everybody gets that one actor that for some reason, unexplicable reason, they just can't stand.
Nicolas Cage.
I think mine's Ethan Hawke.
Really?
Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it, that there's just that one. Like Nicolas Cage, I don't know what it is about him. Just fucking rubs me the wrong way. But then again, I thought Tom Cruise was that for me, and then I'd never actually watched a Tom Cruise movie, and then I did, and I was like, actually, never mind, Tom Cruise is good.
Yeah.
Have you never seen like Training Day or something like that?
Pardon?
Have you seen Training Day?
Yeah. Don't
You
like
like
it.
him on that?
Do you know what? As well, I like Black Phone, but I don't really like him.
Yeah,
He's the worst part of it for me.
I
So
think you've got an
really,
Ethan Hawke vendetta then. That's all it is.
yeah.
Never mind. What about Maya Hawke? Do you be fair and all?
No, I like her. Like her and her mum. They're
Yeah,
fine.
Uma was great. Uma was great.
Can do better.
Yeah. Speaking of Uma, our next episode, we've already lined up two movies
Yeah.
to go against each other. We won't give them away, although there is a clue that Uma Thurman's in one of them. And they are, but it's quite topical because both movies had their releases this month, which is October, if anyone needs reminding. Both movies
And
were released historically this month, and they are by the same director. And one of them stars Uma Thurman, which is all we'll say for now. But yeah, that's for the next episode. We hope you guys enjoyed that list
Kill
of
Bill Volume 1 and Kill Bill Volume 2.
our. Yeah, well, it'd be impressive if you released both of them in the same month because.
Well, you could do it a year apart,
Well,
dickhead.
he's not that patient. I think he did like 6 months between them. You just give away who it is, though, I think, can you?
No, you did.
No. Never mind.
It's fine. We'll
Ignore
cut
all of that. I'm just
them.
pissing about.
Yeah. Don't rewind.
Yeah, but yeah, thanks guys for tuning in, watching slash listening. We hope you enjoyed our list there. We are back now and we'll be releasing episodes every week, so we hope you guys stick with us. Special shout out to the people that did stick with us because I haven't touched the like podcast analytics page like obviously in months. And I went on today to like sort everything back out to start republishing stuff. And it says in the last 30 days we've had 75 downloads. I don't know who the fuck's downloading still after that long.
If you're out there,
People in
thank you.
Los Angeles, apparently.
Thank you, bots. Thank you,
Yeah.
Tesla.
It's Los Angeles and there was another place. Which Singapore
Nice.
and somewhere called Pachuca in Mexico has had quite a few, which is really random. But those places apparently downloaded it quite a few times over the last 30 days. I don't know how
Very.
long, I don't know how many downloads have happened since we actually stopped because it's been like 7 months. But that's really random and just something I saw earlier. So I was like, oh, fair enough. But yeah, that's randomly off topic again. Thanks
Are we
for.
doing this in episode one, or are we got to go back? Are we going to carry it on from episode whatever we was on, 30 something?
I reckon we should carry it on from there because otherwise it's like, what's this? Season two, episode one, then where do we start
Oh,
season three?
we're
What's
not
that
doing
mean?
season. This
So,
isn't a new legacy. Go fuck yourself. Like this is, we're just gonna. This is the pocket. We're just back.
yeah,
We just.
although we've slightly changed the look a tiny, tiny bit.
I sent it to you, and I was like, actually, it doesn't look that different.
No, it doesn't. No, I wouldn't know. I mean, I certainly wouldn't know this. I don't know if anyone else would, but I especially wouldn't have. I've got the attention to detail of a fucking fridge. I never noticed differences.
Sorry.
But yeah, anyway, thanks for listening, guys. And we shall be back next week at the exact same time because we're going to be good boys and be really dedicated with this and make sure it's the same time every week. And I'm not going to keep getting it delayed because I'm not that busy anymore.
How long have we been recording? I can't see.
Doesn't say.
Ah, of course it doesn't. I was
But
just
we said
I
we'd
was
start at 4 and it's only 4:15, so it's not been that long.
Okay, we can do this. We can keep them short. We don't
Yeah.
need too long episodes. We can do
Yeah.
this.
Yeah. This was a brief one for our
I mean, we
standards.
did spend probably about 15 minutes talking about Young Sheldon.
Yeah, Young Sheldon and the fact that you've watched every Godzilla movie.
Yeah.
Well, it's all about catching up. What more can we do? It's been 7 months. We had to run it back. So yeah, thanks for listening slash watching, guys, and we will see you all next week for a return to the Cinematch format of two movies going against each other, and it will be a great episode. I'm calling it now. Spoilers ahead. It's going to be fucking sick. I'm saying it. I'm going out on a whim. It's going to be sick. So, peace out.
See you later.